What's going on, everybody? Equities are not looking too good as we end the month here. We'll talk about what's going on. Gold is also not looking good, sliding down to some lows. Is it time to get short now? Or do you want to get long? Which do you want to do? Not exactly sure. And then finally, Amazon has a show me moment tonight. What is it going to show us? We'll talk about those three things and more. Gang of earnings along coming out with Amazon tonight. And of course, it's pre-Fed day. But first, welcome to the most dangerous show on the Tasty Live Network. Folks, it's Engineering the Trade. I'm your host, Jamal Chandler. I only have one episode left of Ripley. My wife and I have been watching Ripley together. And I got to tell you, it's really good. It's really good. It's a series that they got going on Netflix right now. It's basically a takeoff of the movie The Talented Mr. Ripley with Matt Damon and Jude Law. And I believe Gwyneth Paltrow was in there as well. I believe she plays a love interest. This one's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's interesting when you do something like this. And I feel like this is going to be something that they might do more often. When you have a two-hour movie and you turn it into an eight-episode, I believe this one is, like, just for example, an eight-episode series, right? So from 2 hours to 8 hours, what do you expand on? What do you choose to expand on? I'm fascinated by this. I feel like there's some areas in the show where you could tell that they've expanded on it. Like, the scenes where there's killing involved, you could see that there's expansive work done there to show you more of the process and the thought process and the things he was doing. It's kind of interesting. Not that I want to see more about killing people, but it's weird, to be totally honest, but weird in an interesting way. And then I'm sure there's other scenes where they've expanded it a little more. I really don't know. It's been a long time since I saw the actual movie, but I just started thinking last night, if you did a Back to the Future movie, say just the first one, and you did it as an eight-part series, what would you expand on? What areas would you, you know, would you show what it's like to actually go through time physically? Because that's one thing you didn't see. It was just like, and then he's there, right? But what would it look like if you're in the car as you're going through time? I'm using that because it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I mean, I'm a time travel movie type person. I've always been into those. I just like to see that. I think this is going to be something we might see going forward. 2 hour movies expanded into 8 to 10 part series. Let's pull up some slides. And let's talk about what's going on today. We'll see. Equities are facing their worst month since October. Fed meetings on the horizon. Coincidence? I think not. I think part of it is April. April's been a bad month for stocks. And a lot of times when you have for example, a month that's not been good, by the time you get to the end of the month, you usually see some selling because these funds have to sort of keep up with their allocations and et cetera, et cetera. So if, Tesla didn't have a good month, well, then they're going to sell off more Tesla. They're going to get rid of it. It's going to be out of there. Things like that. And I feel like that's kind of what we're seeing today. Also with some of the angst heading into the Fed meeting, what's going to happen? I don't know how much worse it's going to get. And by worse, I mean for the market. I mean, we already know inflation is still an issue. We already know that the jobs market is good, which is a good thing, by the way, for the economy. But there's wage pressures. And which is leading to more inflation. So inflation is still an issue. We're not going to cut rates. A lot of the market was moving higher. Market moves that we saw for most of this year was the market moving higher on the anticipation of rates being cut. Right? So I don't know how much worse it's going to get, but I think equities are definitely selling off because it's not been such a great month. And they're worried about what the next thing is going to happen. Speaking of, gold is selling off as well. And similar deal. Gold made a lot of moves off the fact that we were going to get interest rate cuts because, you know, high interest rates is not necessarily good for gold at all. Yet, we've started to pluck one by one each one of these meetings, March, February, I think, or January too. Was there January? There's definitely a January-March meeting, end of January, right? Anyway. Each March meeting that's gone by that we don't have a rate cut has created this situation where the markets get nervous and now gold is starting to get nervous. Now, mind you, in the last week, we've had two big down days in gold. Most of those had to do with the fact that they increased margin requirements, which, of course, is going to cause people who are long gold to get out some because they don't want to pay that extra premium. Nevertheless, both markets and equities have been moving higher, and both are pulling back today in anticipation of more bad news from the Fed. I guess we'll see what happens. You know who can't give bad news? Is Amazon. They can't afford to. Because if you've been giving bad news, and you're supposed to be one of the top dogs, it's not going to be good for you. In fact, if you've been giving good news and you're supposed to be one of the top dogs, it hasn't been good for you. Look at Meta last week. So Amazon's kind of almost in an impossible position. I mean, they really have to say something awesome about what's going on with their AI capabilities. And if they really are advancing AI, well, then they're really going to have information on everybody's life. But that's another story. They really have to blow it out of the water, and they really have to say something good about AI in their applications. If not, it's going to be curtains. I'm not sure if this is one I want to trade tonight. I might just sit back and watch, but it's going to be fascinating. You got to imagine that. On top of a lot of other volatility with the Fed Day and AMD and a bunch of other earnings that we'll talk about a little later. For now, leftovers. Shein has become one of the world's top online fashion outlets. Let's move to the next slide. Anybody ever shopped at Shein? People in the chat, I'm curious. Anybody in the chat? You guys shop at Shein? No? Yes, no? Maybe so. Don't know. Yeah, online stores, just period. First of all, for fashion, Shein is the number one in the world. You should know this. 8.1 billion in sales last year. Overall, when you look at now, you got to just come like overall look. Amazon's 12.3 billion. Again, not fashion, just overall in stores, online stores. 12.3 billion in sales, 8.9 billion in sales from Walmart, and Shein is number three. I mean, wow, overall. When you're in the same conversation as Amazon and Walmart, you are selling a lot of stuff. Macy's is next, which is really interesting because Macy's is kind of struggling, right? And they're going through this reconstruction in a way, and private equity has been trying to buy them the last several years, but they still sell a lot of stuff. 6.4 billion. Nike is 4.5 billion. Imagine that. Just apparel and shoes, 4.5 billion. Who knew? Yeah, Shein is on the way and it's coming. I think I bought something from there like 2 years ago. Didn't fit. I mean, I don't know. A lot of their clothes are on the smaller side. Maybe you need, that's the one thing about buying like stuff in China, you know, like with its shoes or clothes. Sometimes it's a little on the smaller side. I mean, not that I'm this enormous guy, but I'm just saying. Can you like make your sizes more than just kid sizes? Let's move to the next slide. Tesla's had some wild days more recently. 15% yesterday. Down upwards of 5% at one point in time today. It's been seriously volatile. We've seen some vol pick up in it too, which is, you know, it's always nice to have a trading opportunity and something that doesn't have earnings where vol picks up. I put on an iron condor yesterday. I can show you that in a little bit, but it's been pretty volatile in here. And I hope it settles down at some point because then the vol will at least collapse and kind of come in. Let's move to the next slide. As far as things coming up, of course, we got the Fed tomorrow. Then you got a lull day on Thursday to digest all of that. Then you got the non-farm payroll. I don't even know if Thursday is a lull day. I mean, really, there's still going to be some earnings Thursday night, I would imagine. I think Apple's are Thursday night, I believe. Non-farm payroll is coming up on Friday, which again is going to be a little bit more vol. You can see these are on the higher end for the vol curve for SPX, 22, 21-ish vol. Then things calm down in a big way next week. There's really, I've been searching for stuff for earnings next week. I mean, not just earnings, but just events for next week. I don't think there's any real macro events. There's going to be a bunch of earnings, I'm sure, but no real macro events next week. Then the week following, it's back to inflation all over again, PPI and CPI. And then you have options expiration. The week after, not a whole lot that I'm aware of on the macro front as of now. And then the week after that, well, you got Memorial Day. And then you got another inflation reading. So these inflation readings are just continuing to dominate the landscape, and they're something that we have to pay attention to because they affect what potentially could happen with interest rates. If one of these things actually calms down and comes in, you're going to see bonds take off in a big way. But until then, bonds are just going to leak lower, just like they're doing today. Let's move ahead to the next slide. So we got a ton of different earnings we can look at. Again, I'm not a big earnings trader. I've kind of not too done too many with those, but I could eye up something in Amazon and AMD. The rest, I'm solely not playing. SMCI has earnings that could be a blockbuster. Starbucks, Riot, Penn's, Lemonade, Caesars, Mondelez, Pfizer, MasterCard, CVS, Gold, and Norwegian, just to name a few. ADP and the JOLTS job reports are on Wednesday. JOLTS, of course, is probably the one that seems to move markets the most. Job openings, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. Either one of them can move the market on any given week when they actually come out. It just depends. But I don't know what to think about tomorrow, because again, tomorrow's a huge day, a lot going on. Guess we'll see what they do. But again, ADP, just looking at the amount of jobs created, again, it's not the same as the private payroll, and sometimes they vary, but whatever. JOLTS, the amount of jobs that are open, that are available for people to take, was really high at one point in time, has calmed down. Was over 10 million, I think, at one point. Now it's like around 8 to 9 million or something in there, but don't quote me. Then you got the Fed rate decision, of course, on Wednesday. That comes at I believe at 1 o'clock Central Time, and then 1:30 is the conference where Fed Chair Powell starts discussing and moving markets. Usually, non-farm payroll, of course, is on Friday. Number of S&P 500 stocks above the 50-day moving average, 223. Let's take a gander at the platform. Ooh, I should have tried this already. Ooh, I just totally messed up. I totally forgot. New computer, and I can't move to my platform. Can I find it? I cannot. Well, that sucks. Well, in the meantime, but let's see. Yeah, let's see. We're just gonna have to tune. Just hold on for a second while I get this figured out. Let's see. Yeah, you can allow that. Can we do it? Can I figure it out? Can I get it? Yeah. Oh no, it's not gonna work. Yeah, I just got a new computer recently, and I totally forgot to add. Zoom doesn't like it when you try to just add things in. They want to make sure that you actually gave it the ability to be seen. Totally forgot to do that. Oh well. In the meantime, let me see. I can get it figured out. I will. This is, folks, a classic example of just bombing on the situation. let's see. Come on, don't fail me now. Do it. Let's see. Can we share it? Bam. Yep. Okay. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get it. There we go. Oh, come on. Yeah, do it. No. Oh, I don't want to do it because then I have to quit and reopen. Well, never mind. Let's just pull the slides back up and we'll go back and discuss through. Let's pull those back up because otherwise I'd have to leave Zoom. I don't want to do that. That would just be abandoning the show. That wouldn't be a good thing. You know what I mean? Anyway, are there any? Yeah, let's pretend it's a radio show. You got any questions for me? Come on, shoot from the hip. I'd love it. Any questions on markets right now? Gold's tanking. What do you do? Do you get short here? Do you get long gold? Is it the time? See, I'm not, that's the one thing that I haven't figured out, if I want to get short gold here or if I want to get long gold here, right? Gold has obviously been rising mostly because we expect rate cuts, but those rate cuts have been kind of taken away from us. So now, as we've seen margins rise, this is usually the thing that happens in commodity markets and commodity names. Once they start to make these big moves, eventually you'll see margins kick up and people will be wondering what's going to happen with the instrument itself. Ticker for gold is slash GC. GLD is basically the ETF version of it, right? That's usually what a lot of people end up trading because it's a little bit more manageable to trade, but GC is the big gold contract. You can also trade slash MGC, which is micro gold. It's one tenth the size. Will Amazon's price movement have an influence on the SPY tomorrow? You know, that's really hard to say. This is one of the few times where you have a major earnings name coming up, and you also have some major macro events going on. I think you're going to see the movement tonight in the SPY in the Qs from Amazon. I think that's one of the things that you'll see just after earnings tonight. You're going to see a movement, right? Will that same movement be reflected tomorrow once we get all of this other stuff, once we get ADP and JOLTS reports, once we also have the Fed report as well, and later in the day, I think Amazon's move will be wiped off the board by the time we get to all that. So if you're looking, it's one of those times where, you know, sometimes you can have an Amazon position on, and then you can go out to Qs or whatever and hedge whatever you want. You hedge your Amazon position based on how the Qs end up moving. But tomorrow, I wouldn't suggest doing that because there's going to be a lot of different things that are also moving major markets, if you will. Would you be interested in doing a 52 DTE strangle in Amazon? I'm assuming you're asking. I don't know. Honestly, that's not something that I would be 52 days out. You got to understand if you're doing that, you're really not, that's not an earnings play. So there's nothing against it. And the vol is somewhat high, but you also have to like, Dave, you got to understand that volatility works kind of like this, on a day, on a time like this for Amazon, it's much higher in the front. It's kind of like concave, right? And then it's high up here, and then it's kind of lower as you're coming down when you're looking at vol. So there's a lot more higher vol, obviously, in the near term because of the expected event. But for 52 days out, that's not earnings vol. So you could totally sell it. Just know it's not going to collapse as much as it was in the near term. Now, I'm not trying to tell you to sell near term because, again, that's a lot more. There's a lot more event risk in there, and it could move a lot more and totally mess your strangle up. So just be aware. You could totally sell the Amazon 52-day strangle. Just know you're not selling earnings vol, right? You're selling Amazon vol further out. And again, it's a little bit elevated due to the expected earnings, but not as much as it in for the near term. So yeah, I mean, I've looked at Amazon. I don't necessarily know if I want to. I've looked at a couple of different things earnings wise. I haven't been able to decide whether or not I want to make a play on it. You know, a lot of times for those of you who are long-term watchers of the show, what I usually do is pick a direction, and then I use kind of a calendar call spread or calendar put spread, depending on how I feel about the name. But I got to be honest with you, looking at Amazon's chart, I don't necessarily feel strongly one way or another. And if anything, I'm worried about a downside move because similar to Meta, if they don't come out and say something, you know, just greatly that moves the needle with regard to AI, I mean, the stock will probably end up tanking because there's high expectations, right? And I'm not necessarily sure how they can move the needle to the upside if they say, you know, just if they just beat, right? Like it's kind of weird. They're in a weird position right now. And I think that's kind of what we've seen in the earnings cycle. When you look at Tesla, for example, terrible earnings, but the stock was so oversold that it bounced to the upside. Microsoft, they beat, but they didn't exactly, you know, the stock didn't exactly crush it. Like it wasn't like the stock was moving big. And matter of fact, the next day it kind of faded. You saw Google beat big, mostly moved because of the idea of announcing a dividend all of a sudden. But even that, you know, when you look at yesterday, all of a sudden stock faded. So it's been a tough couple of weeks for the big tech earnings. Like they have done well. Most of them have done well as far as an organization and the company. But outside of Google, like we haven't seen this massive stock move. And I think it's because earnings expectations are just so high at this point in time. So AMD as well, like I had a short put on AMD. I took it off. I'm a little worried about that one. That's another situation where, and my short put was at the 165 strike with stock trading 160 now. So that's another one where I'm a little worried and I closed it out just because who knows what's going to happen. I mean, if they miss, I'm going to get rocked in that position. I'd rather just take it off for now, get through the earnings event, and then I'm sure if it does what I think it's going to do, which is probably move down, the vol will still be elevated, I can easily get back in and sell another short put. But it's almost not worth it to hold some of these positions through earnings right now when you're talking about some of these big tech names, because they just have been a little unpredictable. MindPower says Amazon's max weekly chart looks like it's at the top. I mean, it does. It's kind of a near a top. And yeah, it's I don't know. If I'm anything, I might play it to the downside, just because if it misses, it's going to have a pretty big move. And I often play earnings for moves, just so you know. Like, I'm not really an earnings seller. I like to play earnings for moves. I see you guys are talking about Shine in the chat. I didn't realize this. Yeah. Look, H Montero, I'm surprised you never heard of Shine, but yeah, it's a well-known Chinese a company. I will definitely agree with Paul. It is cheap Chinese crap. It is definitely cheap Chinese crap. And like I said, I've bought one or two things from there. You know, but you got to admit though, it's getting to a point now where some of these online retailers, I mean, things are absolutely ridiculous sometimes. I mean, we're approaching $50 socks and whatnot on some of these places. It's stupid. And most people don't want to pay that, but I can tell you, you're seeing inflation all around. I went to a place last night and I got buffalo chicken salad. That place used to give like these chicken strips, these chicken like strips that were like this big. Last night it was like this. I was like, wow, this is how you know inflation is in the economy, and it's everywhere. And we've seen it in pretty much most of the reports that we're getting, PPI, CPI. We just saw it in core price inflation last week. Wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see it for this month as well. We already talked about how in a couple of weeks we're going to get those readings. So it's, I don't know. It's something, and I'm still holding on to long bonds. Why? I don't know, man. I just, being a contrarian, but it hasn't really paid off for me so far. But yeah, I think that's one of the, tomorrow you can expect for obviously stocks to move, but besides that, I'm looking to see what gold and silver does. Do they retrace their moves more recently, or are they going to bounce up after these big sell-offs? Again, we've had 2 days in the past week where we've seen big sell-offs in gold and silver, and it's a result of margin increasing requirements. I don't know if that's going to be enough. When you look at the chart, it looks like this should be the beginning of the end for those big moves that we've seen in gold and silver to the upside. But I'm just not quite ready to fade it yet. I've gotten burned so bad trying to fade gold that I'm just not ready to jump back in. Oil is another one. I don't expect that to be too affected by what's going on tomorrow, but oil has breached this 82 level that it's been hanging on to. And it seems like the geopolitical risk has died down some, but there's nothing really interesting about playing oil at the moment. For tomorrow, equities is going to be the one. I do have this. I do think that we're going to get a movement during Powell's speech. We have over the last several meetings. Which direction? I don't know. If I knew that, I'd be a genius. Guys, I don't know at all. But I do think we're going to see some movement, obviously. I think you're going to see bonds. Bonds are going to be the biggest ones that move. Will we see the two-year breach 5%? That's really the question. That's at 497 now. Will it have a meaningful breach is the real question. Are we at near-term highs, or will it eventually fade? I can't determine. Dave is asking, do I like to trade stocks or futures more? I like to trade, when you talk about stocks, I trade options more than anything. I'll trade futures every now and again. And usually the micros, like I've traded MES, MNQ, M2K, and MGC and MCL all this year. Those are probably the five that I trade the most. Options wise, I trade everything. Like I like to, and especially liquid names, right? Like that's what we do here at Tasty, the Amazons of the world, the Metas, all of those things. So yeah, I definitely trade options more than futures for sure. It's a comfort zone for me, and I'm used to trading options, but I always want to trade the volatility, right? Like I usually end up trading those micros when I feel like there's an extreme move in direction, right, for price. And then I'll probably try to get in. Like, doesn't always work, but like MGC, I was trying to get short that in the last month a couple of different times. MCL, I was long that more recently. I do like futures options. I do trade those, Dave. Good question. I trade futures options. As a matter of fact, I have a M. I have I'm sorry. I have a slash ZN CB call spreads on right now for bonds. That's the way I'm trading bonds, as opposed to trading the yield products. I much rather trade the more liquid of the two, and so that's kind of the way I do that. I'll use those for futures options quite a bit. I also have a GC Iron Condor on right now, so using futures options in that way. Very similar, especially if you're doing risk defined. It's not too crazy, so those are nice. Look, guys, I appreciate you hanging in there. Sorry I didn't have the platform working. New computer, hey, new phone. Who dis? It happens. But appreciate you guys hanging in there with me. And I'll see you on the other side of the Fed meeting. I'll see you on Thursday. There's no engineering the trade on Wednesdays. Never really is. We usually have truth or skepticism. But I'll see you guys on Thursday. Once again, appreciate it. As always, thanks for watching. Be smart. Be patient. Trade small. Trade often. I'll see you guys.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.